Welcome to this episode of SMP Stories. I'm your host, Director of Training, Ryan Coyman. And with me today here is Ivan Malikov. Welcome, Ivan.
Hi, Ryan. Thank you very much for having me today.
Yeah, great. As we talked about just the other day, I still remember before you even started with Standard Motor Products and how we first met. I think it was even before an interview. So do you recall where that was?
That was in, I think, in Apex or SEMA show in Las Vegas.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of senior managers invited me over to your booth or some location. I don't remember the location, like exact location on the floor. Was it SMP stand or was it somewhere else? But I remember us talking.
Yeah, well, I remember we talked over at the MGM over by the little coffee shop one morning. How long ago has that been?
As of now, it's 6.5 years.
Okay, wow, time really does fly. So what is the current role you are in for Standard?
I'm managing interchange team. I have two people who in the team and one remote person in the team as well. And we are responsible for interchange work. This part of the business was not great shape lately. So the S&P decided to put more efforts into this category, and we are working on getting our data in much better state than we used to be.
So for the listeners here that don't understand, what is the interchange and what does the interchange team do?
Well, I usually explain it this way. When a manufacturer releases a car, every single part of this vehicle is a part, and it has its own part number. So we are talking about OE part numbers now. And OE manufacturers changing them time to time. One of the reasons they're changing vendors, and there are a few more reasons that only they know why they decided to change the numbers. But OE world, all numbers are live. Not a lot of numbers stay the same for a couple of years in a row. So when OE manufacturer supersedes the number, we need to keep track of that. We need to know, we need to indicate this number in our interchange tables and interchange lists that we send to customers, and we send to all the data managing companies around us who supplies our information to retailers. Additionally to that, we also have competitors who also releases parts, and they use their own numbering system. And they all also supersede numbers the same as we do. Some numbers being consolidated, some numbers being split. And there is a lot of activity. Throughout the years, this information became multi-layer information with a bunch of supersessions and exceptions and special rules. And to be successful, this is what our customer uses to buy our parts. If we're missing an interchange, we're missing a sale. If we're doing, yes.
Yeah, so a lot of people probably don't even think about that, right? What goes into the catalog information, and this interchange is very crucial to helping people look up and make sure that they purchase the right part ultimately.
That's true. Interchanges comes and play serious role when we do store changeovers. When one store changes its brand to other store. I won't be going deep into details how interchanges work there, but believe me, this is a very, very big part of that business. It also comes in play when even a regular retail customer standing in front of the counterman at the store asking for our competitor's part, which store don't have, but they immediately can say, hey, we have this in standard brand or BWD or something else.
Very good. Perfect. And this isn't your first department in Standard. What did you do previously while you were here?
I started as a senior product manager, and that was a very exciting experience. We released a lot of parts, and I managed one of honestly my favorite, all-time favorite product categories, which is ADAS, Advanced Driver Assistance Systems, all the radars and the sensors. That's a new world. This is where the part is being driven by IT code, programming code, not the physical attributes of the part. They all look the same, but what's inside of them, what the little chip knows, it's completely differentiated them by the from vehicle to vehicle. And by the way, this is a good subject for interchanges too. Believe me, there is tremendous amount of supersessions there. As soon as they update the code or do some major updates to the coding or the software, they do supersede the numbers. So within the first year, every single blind spot detector has like 25, 30 supersessions.
Wow. Yeah, so that really primed you for the position you're in today, right?
That's true. Then for a brief amount of time, I joined our pricing team, and that was very challenging and interesting as well. I've been doing pricing for my previous companies where I used to work, and that was interesting. But then when interchange team has an opening, that kind of caught my attention as a very interesting field to give an impact to our success.
Awesome. Very good. So what does a typical day look like for you?
Typical day is, I think we all start with very, very simple and routine tasks, answer the emails and see what landed in your inbox today. Some days, nothing special. Some days it's a heavy request. If we have a heavy quote for a customer that we need to reply ASAP, we might be dropping everything that we have and just start doing some research. When we can do research on our own as a team, as a group, we do this, and we need our product management team to help us with resolution of some complex cases and interchanges. We also might include them. We have a very large list of systems and processes that's running behind the scenes that honestly nobody even sees that they're there. But we do scrapes. And the scrapes is when automated process goes to our competitor website or OE website and simply copy-paste all the numbers that they post there. Manually, it will take ages to do, and likely we live in this time when it can be automated using the programming codes. Mm-hmm. This is what we do. We harvest the data out from there, and we do comparison. We see where we have some blank spots, where our competitors have parts, we don't have parts. And the main question to answer here is this a missing interchange, or we actually have a true hole and we need to know our PM team now, hey guys, we're missing out on this and we need to add that part in the line. We do not have a routine day in the team in most of the cases. Of course, there are routine tasks, but we run on requests. We run on the case-by-case basis when we have some issues with the data. And we have a big and large amount of data transferring and transitioning processes that sometimes don't perfectly talk to each other, so that requires maintenance. And we also have big plans. As of now, since my team started growing, we have more and more abilities to actually implement new things. Not so long ago, we started so-called motor process, when we run everything that motor as a company gives us and supply our product managers with idea, hey, we have 35 parts that actually can be implemented as new, and we have VIOs, we have all the details about these parts. That's a good outcome for the PM team. Good outcome for interchange team is we have interchanges with new interchanges that we can add to the system. And the additional side business from that, we can also carry over the applications. Applications is not what my team doing, but we are one large team, and we provide them with good amount of application information that could be carried over as well.
So where is the interchange team located physically?
It's in Long Island City. We have three people right now full-time from the office in Long Island City, and we have part-time long-term employee of our company, Alan Moss. He helps us remotely from his home.
Okay, perfect. Awesome. So how long have you been in the automotive industry itself?
My whole life. That's my favorite topic. If speaking about automotive industry officially, when I was 18 years old, that was official time when you could get employed in my original country. So I immediately got a job at the automotive business. And that's very interesting coincidence. I was working for a small company that was carrying parts for American cars only American cars. And I was one of the people behind ordering parts from Standard Motor Products.
So you've been familiar with our company from a different angle. And
that's
you mentioned from your original country, that's not Mexico, judging by your accent.
No.
Where is your original?
I came from Russia, from Moscow. And Russia, in terms of automotive business, Russia is a very interesting country. Russian vehicles never been considered as a good cars. It's very, very basic and entry level. My very first car was Lada. The model name will not tell anything. It's 2109, basic 1.5 liter engine, carbureted engine. That was brand new at the moment when I bought it in 2001, I think. So it still was carbureted engine from the factory. 75 horsepower manual transmission, and you get three pedals as an option, clutch, brake, and gas. That's it. Nothing else. No EC, nothing. So a lot of small businesses in Russia importing cars, used cars from all over the world, especially in the beginning, in the end of 90s, in the beginning of 2000s, that was a big deal. There was a European car business, Japanese car business, and American car business. So I joined the company that works with American car business. So we was supplying parts and servicing cars. That was unofficially, not legal. Legal is an incorrect word. Everything was legal, of course. The car never been supplied by Chevrolet, for example, to Russia. It's just somebody bought it here and shipped it in a container overseas and say, hey, right now it lives there. And to answer your question about how long I've been in automotive industry, my interest in automotive and parts and cars, motorcycles, trucks, anything that has an engine in it, began from the time when I remember myself, 3 years old, I guess. That's when I was playing in my dad's garage, always next to the disassembled car, assembled car, damaged car. I learned how all the parts name and what do they do by age of five. And this is something that I enjoy still today. I live in New York. It's not a lot of area here available for people who live in New York, but I still do some maintenance on my car and my motorcycles outside on the street when I just have time and the right mood to it.
And I think you were telling me previously, if you're going to go ride your motorcycle, it's a one-hour dangerous ride to get out of the city first, right? And then you can actually do the riding.
Yeah, that's true. New York isn't a fun place. As a city, New York isn't a fun place to ride in the city. So my normal task is when I have free time, I just jump on a bike early morning and trying to get out to upstate or Long Island, and then that will be turning into a pleasant ride.
Awesome. Very fun. So you shared a little bit here about your story. You're originally from Russia, but tell us more about your story and, what makes you you? How did you end up here? Tell us about your family a little bit.
I think my love for cars and automotive actually, no surprises here, it comes from my father. When Soviet Union, which used to be a pretty strong financially country, crashed in 1991 and that became Russia, all government workers immediately found themselves without any income, just because official salary that he was making was destroyed by sudden inflation. And my dad was needed some money to feed his family. And one of the solutions that he came out pretty quickly, he opened a used car dealership, and he was the one behind importing cars from Europe. That business, he started it from scratch without any experience. Soviet Union was iron curtain country, so you have zero understanding of how it works. So they was simply, he and his couple friends simply was going to Europe, buying a few cars, driving them back to Russia and placing them on the lot and selling them. This is where I was growing up. This is where I was looking at the cars. I'm very proud to say that he never been in the business of crashed cars. He never bought damaged vehicles and restored them. But I've seen a lot of lots around him doing this. They was buying a total cars, which was another side of the business, and restoring them very cheaply, just make to look it nice and resell it. So that's how I learned how to determine if the car was an incident or was not an incident. And I can see it even a lot of cars who are driving around me. So like, you shouldn't be driving that. It's bad. It's not the good way. So he held this business for about 10 years, if I'm not mistaken, and then big corporations started taking over. So he sold the business. And he continued his way in automotive business, and this is when I start reaching out the age when I can work. And I joined a business named Academy Plus just because of its location. It was next to some of academies, and they've been selling parts for American cars. Small location, small retail, one store, one warehouse, not a big deal. This is where I went through all my getting my degree and experience and stuff. And then I joined a little bit. I made a leap of faith, very interesting. I joined a startup in automotive filtration business. We started with five people in the office and one guy at the warehouse. In 7 years, we ended up being a second largest supplier of the filters in the country. The growth was significant, a lot of amazing experience, a lot of amazing actions that we did there, including pricing. This is where my pricing experience was. I still remember that business. That was my biggest personal growth, where I learned not only cars as an object, but also how to be an object of the business, how business that's related to automotive actually operates. And at some point of time that there was four owners of that business, decided to open a branch in United States, which they successfully did. They opened an office in California, and I impressed my interest in moving to California. So I moved there. I started as one of the another five people in the office in California. But unfortunately, within a year, the owners of the company reached the point when they was disagree how to continue with American branch. There was a lot of turbulence in the business, not related to the business performance, but related to management of the company. And to make myself more safe, I just started looking for a job, and I joined Standard. Here I am.
Wow. So you went from Moscow to California. What part of California was it?
It was San Francisco Bay Area, okay. About 40 miles from San Francisco, inland town, city named Concord.
Okay. And then from there, you moved to New York City.
That's true. That's correct.
Okay. Great. So any family in the U.S. or is everybody in Russia still?
Well, I have two kids here and my wife. That's pretty much it. No, the rest of my family is in Russia.
Great. How old are your children?
8 and 5.
Okay. Fun times, right? Are they going to get in the car business?
Well, they both express a lot of interest in motorcycle, which is surprising. So now it's my daily routine, not daily, weekly routine, to ride them on the parking lot with helmets and stuff on one of my bikes. And they really enjoying this. So I actually start looking for any schools around that could put them on a dirt bike and show them how this works. Maybe this will be the future, maybe not. This is at the idea stage, not the plan yet. But yes, they do. They like fixing cars with me. I actually have plans for them to do oil change in my daily car. I will help with everything that will require a physical, a strong power, but all the rest they will do themselves. We're getting there, yeah.
Good. That's fun. Pass that knowledge on to the next generation here. So, yep. When it comes to music, just off topic here, what's some of your favorite artists or what do you currently listen to?
Oh, I have my favorite music genre is heavy metal. Everything from 70s, 80s, and the beginning of 90s. That is something that is I listen when I have a right mood to it. I have enough energy to listen music and and enjoy it. When I don't have enough energy, I open for myself a jazz. Jazz is amazing at the evening if you want to have just, if you want to relax at home a little bit and listen to some calm music. And that's pretty much it. These are the two genres that I'm still sleeping with.
Good, good. No, and they each have a purpose, right? And yep. set the mood for you. That's great. So, you know, some days we all sit back and look out the window and maybe put our feet up on the desk and go, you know, what if? And so what if, you know, you've experienced a couple different departments in Standard. You know, what do you think is the dream position for you?
It's a good question. I'm still thinking of it. I can say that it depends. It depends on so many factors, my family situation, my ideas and some targets. I don't know, to be honest. I mean, do I know? Yes, I do know, but I haven't picked one of your ideas yet.
No, that's good. That's very fair. Along with it, any personal goals or achievements you're currently working on or anything?
Personal, not business related. I'm thinking, and I really hope that I will manage to do so. I'm planning a motorcycle trip from south to north of Alaska next year, or maybe in the year after the next year. We'll see how this goes. But so far, that's something that I would like to achieve in my life.
Awesome. No, that sounds awesome. I mean, that's a lot of fun, and you know, I that's my favorite part of this is hearing people's what they look forward to, you know, and how they get to spend their hobbies outside of work. You know, we all like to work hard, but it's got to be a reward at the end of the day, and what we look forward to doing with that. You ever make it back to Russia to visit the rest of the family, or
no? When I moved to US. A lot of things were happening. It always was, hey, I'll go there next year. I'll go there next year. And now, you know, the situation between Russia and Ukraine isn't great. So for me, absolutely no way to get to Russia. Just simply because they might ask me to join some business that I don't really want to join.
Right.
So the way how citizens of Russia now meet their relatives is usually some third-party country. This is how it happened.
Yep. Well, just like that, we've spent almost a half hour here talking, Ivan. I always appreciate hearing from you and hearing your insights and a little bit of your history. You know, it's I always appreciate a little bit more what life here looks like when you hear from somebody that's been elsewhere, right? And do you have any final thoughts to pass along to the audience here? Any closing advice or words of wisdom?
Well, I can say this. If you ever thought to ride a motorcycle, just do it. Because this is amazing. Be safe, learn how to do it, and don't make it all of a sudden. But if you have thoughts to try, go ahead and try. Believe me, it's amazing.
Enjoy that two-wheel freedom, right?
That's true. Yep.
And be safe because we're ready to come back to work on Monday.
Of course. Yeah.
Well, good. Well, everybody, I appreciate you tuning in to another episode of S&P Stories. I hope you learned a little bit more about our coworker, Ivan Malikov, and what makes him unique and the skill set he brings to S&P and how he helps us sell more parts every day. So look forward to hearing from you all in the next episode. Thanks, everybody.
S&P Stories.